Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley, and we got an announcement, B. Good morning.
What's up, brother?
You're already blacked out. You're ready for the blackout, man.
Yeah, you know, I decided I'll start up and then switch over to the Commander's gear later on, too.
You'll be shocked to know I completely forgot about it.
Yeah, you got a blue suit on.
I have a pink shirt on right now
pink
and a blue
shirt.
Suit for tonight.
He has a blue suit with silver...
not correct.
Stuff.
Green tie.
He always dresses like
that
he's a Cowboy
is
fan.
Such BS. I wore burgundy in L.A. You didn't say I was Ron Burgundy.
I didn't
dude.
See you.
You did. We stood together on the sideline for like 20 minutes.
I wasn't paying attention.
You work so many jobs, you can't go home and change. Like, it's over. Like,
oh,
you're
I'm
done.
Going straight.
Yeah,
straight
it's over.
Yeah, it's over.
It's a big day.
So,
yeah, yeah.
It is a big day. If, you, yeah. if you're listening to the program right now, you hear the junks. We got bullet points, fellas.
It's yeah. a combined announcement.
It is.
This deserves a drum roll, too. This is the long tippity, too. Like 20 seconds
worth. Well, I feel like you guys should announce the top
we
part
supposed,
of this.
Who's supposed
I
to
think
make-
we're supposed to announce the top. So okay. here's the deal. 106.7 The Fan.
This is really playing now.
And
Mike
our
Radio.
Partners over at Monumental Sports have reached a multi-year renewal an expansion of our play-by-play and radio show simulcast agreement. So the
nice.
Junkies, we've been on
there
the Monumental
go,
Sports Network for several years
How
now.
How long have you guys been on there now?
That's a good question.
Don't know.
Great
several.
Question. No. My answer is several.
Yeah. Multiple years.
Multiple.
That's a great way to put it.
Multiple.
We're going to continue.
He says four.
Four-ish.
Four. We're going to continue four-ish. To air on the Monumental Sports Network and... You guys have been part of this. The Junkies are soon going to be available live and on demand on 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page.
Oh, that's
going to
be good.
Combo.
And again,
yep.
that's YouTube.com/106.7 The Fan.
Buckle up for the chat on the YouTube page.
I will not look at the chat.
It is banana
okay,
land.
I'm from Ben. Monitor the chat.
If it's anything like the Reddit page, I don't want anything to do with it.
I can guarantee you they're going to – Ben will be a target.
Yeah.
Little red
Listen,
right there.
Once they get out there, they're going to find out somebody to just start throwing darts at.
No, but look, yeah. Mike Marr's been doing videos for our YouTube page for the last couple of years, and it's really grown. If you haven't subscribed or liked the page, it's 106.7 The Fan's page, and then there are subsets, whether it's B. Mitch and Finley or The Junkie. So now, baton pass to you.
Brian, hit it.
You can do it.
Okay.
That's almost like the Today Show bit.
Right. So, in addition to the junks now, so 106.7 The Fan and Monumental have this big deal, Caps game, Wiz games, Mystics games, and now... Junks are on from 6 to 10, and B. Mitch and Finley will be televised on the Monumental Sports Network.
Look at that.
From
wow.
10 to 2.
Can they get this head and those ears on the same screen?
Get that wide angle lens ready.
You got to have a big screen.
Let's
man.
Go.
So we'll be on TV 10 to 2 on Monumental starting November 1st. We're also going to
dig in your nose no more, dog.
I know, man.
So does that mean that you're going to be coming in
yes.
here to
yes.
the studio?
Yeah, it's going to be because
you
cluster.
Don't have cameras in that studio.
No, prison cell is not equipped.
Unless
it's a
Monumental,
line change.
Unless Monumental's going to install cameras.
I have a feeling we're coming in here.
I think
whatever,
gonna, it's going to be
whatever
a line
this
change.
Costs, I don't think they're paying for it.
I don't think that's happening.
Maybe half the price.
That's
half
true.
The studio.
Yeah, maybe
yeah.
a third.
You act like you're here when they start
yeah,
their
I mean,
show.
Honestly, do you care?
No, I don't.
56, we're out of here. I mean,
just, well, one Tuesday a month, I care.
Well, we could do it from the hallway.
What
we
do you have on
I'm
one
kidding,
Tuesday?
Of course.
One
he,
we have to do some hit with...
We got a dude with Derek Forrest.
Oh, okay.
Just go outside.
You know what? I might just do it here while you're on the air.
It's encouraged. Yeah. Russell takes up the entire area
yeah,
in there
yeah,
when
Chris,
he has to do TV.
He just does hit in the hallway.
Right.
But he looks like this, you know what I'm saying?
We'll figure it out.
So Caps games will continue to air on 106.7 The Fan. The Fan becomes the new flagship station for the Washington Wizards. Select games airing on Team 980 and Bloomberg 99.1. And we will continue to air on audio presentation of Monumental Sports Network's broadcast of the Mystics on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, and 1580 The Bet.
Mm.
Quick survey.
A lot of partners.
How many among us had heard of 1580 The Bet until 30 seconds ago?
First time. I thought it was BetMGM, to be honest with you.
It's changed. Always rebranding. It's
always,
all good.
Always. No, but look, the big deal is Junkies, we're happy. We've had this relationship with Monumental for years. They've aired our simulcast. That continues. And starting November 1st, we're on YouTube. You guys have been on YouTube. Now you're adding Monumental Sports. So that's pretty cool.
I think in the content game, man, you just got to be where people are. However, leave it up to the salespeople to monetize that. But you want to be where
Here's
the eyes
the
are. And I think there's
where is JP
monetized? That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, B's always thinking about the monetization.
Where is JP not? He's here. He's on Monumental. He's on Channel 4. No one's getting more FaceTime than JP Finley.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not in the winner's circle on the golf course. we're working, man. We're busy. Dude, I'm basically homeless right now, so I need all the work I can get.
You're not homeless.
I live in a construction site.
But it's a home.
They're upgrading the castle a little bit?
No, dude. We had my 6-year-old clogged the toilet. We had water damage. Took out 3 floors of my, from the upstairs to the basement.
Oh, yeah. My God.
But it's in the house.
I mean,
see, if he was homeless, he'd have been in a damn.
That is true.
Park some damn way.
I'd be living in the garage downstairs.
Oh, man.
So tonight, you're going to go over to the stadium after the show.
Yeah.
And then you'll obviously be there for the game. Locker room.
You'll get home
stuff.
About 3:30.
What time will you get home tonight for a Monday night game?
2? Yeah, maybe 3.
Maybe 3, wow.
So the game, 8:15, say it's over by 11:30, 11:45, hour of post-game.
You crank out something with Mitch tonight?
Yeah, Monumental with Mitch Tischler.
They're not going to hit tonight, really. Ain't nobody going to be up watching.
You'll do it on the drive home or something, won't you?
Nah, we'll do it there.
You'll do it in the room closet.
They want video.
Ain't nobody watching that.
This guy's everywhere, dude.
I mean, you do an hour of post-game tonight. People will be watching.
No, we don't do an hour. We do about 35 minutes.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the same.
But we carry the
You'll
press
be leaving
conference.
There at what, right?
We carry Jaden. We carry Dan Quinn. Whoever else may have a big game. People want to see
Bill,
that stuff.
You're going to carry Bill after tonight's game.
You'd like Bill to carry the team tonight.
Hell yeah.
Well, hopefully that's the case.
Are you guys, Bill's putting up numbers
Are you
tonight.
Guys confident?
I am.
You are.
I'm confident because they can't stop the run, and I think we run the ball effectively. We're number one in the league right now.
Right.
So I think if you can run the ball, then all of a sudden you allow everything else to happen. Now you got to be able to stop their run. Right. That's the main thing.
B will yell at me for this take because I'm looking ahead. I am confident for tonight and quite nervous for Dallas next week.
Because
Dallas is fast.
We can't worry about really Dallas. Close. All we're worried about is this tonight.
Yeah. We've got tonight. Hell, needs
I
tomorrow?
Guess you're worried about Kansas City, too.
Yep.
You worry about them all. I'll be worried about that.
I'm worried about the future.
If you're worried
too.
About all the receivers that Washington's played that are killing Lattimore, whoever you want to say, they kill Lattimore all the time. What do you think George Pickens is going to do?
He's not very good. That's, I mean, that's
okay, well, what do you think George Pickens is going to do?
Okay. He had a one-off.
That's what I told them.
Herbert didn't have a ton of time, but he was good in L.A.
Yeah, you got to get to.
Well, I think CD might get be back.
And if CD's back? Oh.
But tonight's the focus. Yeah, Adunze's a hell of a player. Adunze, I think, has 5 touchdowns in 4 games.
Yeah.
He's been really good.
He's become the alpha in that room.
He can get his touchdown. Don't let nobody else get in.
But to what B. Mitch said, last year, Swift went off for almost 130 yards against him. So shut that down first.
Well, if that happens, that's a catastrophe.
They have a lot of different players now.
In their wins, Washington's D-line has controlled the game. And so that, to me, is the focus tonight because Caleb, for whatever you think of Caleb, he's been really good against the blitz. So you got to be able to generate the pressure with your front 4, maybe 5.
Rather than Kenlaw and Orange.
We'll
Armstrong
know right away whether or not we're getting pressure. We'll know right away. You'll know within 2 series.
Similar to LA. I mean, literally in their 3 wins, it's been
Kenlaw. But they didn't get any pressure in the first 2 series in LA. Yeah, they didn't get it until the second quarter.
Well, that was shocking. I was shocked by the turnaround,
well,
to be honest with you.
Who doesn't get pressured? The Bears' defensive line. They have 5 sacks. So they have a hard time getting to the quarterback. So hopefully that's the case with Jaden tonight.
What you're alluding to is in the 3, what is it?
Three wins.
In the three wins, we've given up 13.5 points per game. In the two losses, we've given up 30.
Yeah, it's a big difference,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, it's like all or nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all or nothing.
That is really significant.
They've been like this. Yeah. It's time to keep that thing stable now.
Well, and I was talking to Von Miller last week, I guess, and he brought up the roller coaster. Yeah. One thing I've always been impressed by with the Dan Quinn staff is whatever the message is from coaching.
The players do it too.
Everybody reflects it. Yeah. And Von Miller brought up, we've been on this roller coaster, we got to get off. And then the next day, I talked to Kinlaw, and he's like, we got to get off this damn roller coaster.
Yeah.
So they are like
the rolling hills on the bike ride. And now you're to the flatland.
Or
Let's go.
Piedmont Golf Club. Wherever
I got to get over there.
Well, especially with the way Philadelphia's playing now, I don't know what the hell's going on with them. They got all kinds of issues.
Well, you know, when you try to cover up all of the internal issues, eventually it comes out anyway.
Yeah.
And you can tell, look at the people's body language and their facial expressions.
Right.
They got some issues going
on
with their team.
And
a lot of people out there got a problem with that damn offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it looks
like your boy rolled his best friend in that can't coach.
Yeah.
If you look
at they were winning. They were just finding ways to win when they were 4-0. And I said, just look, they're not playing well, but they're still winning. Now they're not playing well and losing. So now if Washington wins tonight, they're 4-2. It'll be a big step forward.
Tied for the division lead if they win tonight.
Correct.
Philly's been outgained in every game they've played.
I know.
Even through the 4-0 start.
They're disgusting offensively.
And they have a Saquon Barkley problem compared to what he did last year. I mean,
people are stopping that this year. They're not letting him run.
Correct.
And then again, when you look at last year, and I think Zangaro said it, we always talk about the running back that has over 300-something carries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That next year they don't play the same.
Right.
How about the offensive lineman that were blocking for him?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because right now, Mulata looks like he's average.
Mm-hmm.
He got his ass whipped.
They got some injuries.
They beat mm-hmm. him like a drum.
Because Dickerson's hurt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got issues.
They do. What about your Niners? You watched yesterday?
I watched it. Watched every play.
Do you think
Mac Jones is just your typical in the pocket, can't bounce outside? If you give him time, he'll kill you. But if you get after him, he can't move. So,
he's playing hurt. Warner's foot going the wrong way.
I'd like to unwatch that if I could, but I can't. Crazy the injuries, Sam.
That team is just snake bitten.
Yeah, I think the league's kind of snake bitten, to be honest.
Like
with
everybody
you
on the team,
better
start
letting
with the injuries,
they better practice a little harder during the offseason.
Like the guy that has the rap for being the most injured there is Christian McCaffrey, and he's the guy that's staying upright while everybody else is just going by the wayside.
A lot of games left.
I know,
Christian don't know how to know me.
He
don't know how to make a year.
It just takes one play.
Yeah.
Takes one.
You think the Bucs are the best team in the NFC now? Detroit lost last night.
I mean, right now, in this personnel moment, losses too. Like Mike Evans is out.
The best record.
Goofy
I wouldn't necessarily
out.
Say they're the
Godwin
best team.
Godwin hasn't played.
Yeah.
Who would you say is the best team in the NFC right now?
Before last night, I think most people would have said Detroit.
Right.
But then you watch Kansas City dominate.
Because people look at straight records. But when you start looking at the way people are playing, Seattle's not playing bad football at all.
No.
Seattle might start creeping up there right now.
Seattle's good on the road. They're bad.
Let's see what Washington does tonight. And then they may start getting into that category.
Best record in the NFC is Tampa, right? At 5-1?
Yeah, but let's find out how good they are because they're playing at Detroit next week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bish, you'll appreciate it. I had a heater of a gambling weekend.
Really?
I had the Chiefs last night. I had the Seahawks.
Well, I keep telling you about the Chiefs. Everybody want to down the Chiefs. I say, listen, don't look at their record. That team is good.
Wait till the end of the year.
The Terps are covered.
Because you look at them the week before, they look like garbage, and they come out last night, you go, oh, hell.
Yeah.
They basically handled Detroit.
Dude, did you watch last night? Chris Jones has a neutral zone problem. That dude is in the neutral zone on every snap.
But he never gets called for
it.
I'm not going to get called for it, why should I quit it?
He's so much bigger than everyone that you can't help but notice. He's in the neutral zone on every snap.
The push, they're in the neutral zone. Nobody calls it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why shouldn't the defense player be able to do it? You got to find ways to cheat.
Right.
Legally.
Job the system.
Well, how about the play where Montgomery threw the touchdown pass to Goff and they don't throw a flag? And then after the score, they all get together and go, wait a minute, that was a flag. They throw it. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
That was crazy.
You got to throw a flag during the play.
But was it the correct call?
Somebody said it right away. It was the referee guy.
Oh, I know they can. Yeah. I just think it's incompetence. They got to be able to do it.
What's up with the Rob Lowe look, the NFL hat?
That's the second Rob Lowe reference today.
I don't get it.
You know, Rob Lowe doesn't wear a logo hat. He wears NFL.
He doesn't understand it.
Rob Lowe famously, I think it was a Super Bowl, they were like showing the celebrities in the stands, right. And they showed Rob Lowe just with the NFL hat. Yeah.
I don't know. This was given to me. I kind of like it, so I just wore it.
It's kind of. Do you know who collects
most
those?
Of the things we wear are given to us?
Well, take a look at. I mean, take a look at his jacket.
Well, I'm there. That's a business. This is a business relationship.
I know. I guess now that, especially on TV, we'll have to wear more gear.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I usually roll in here real bummish.
So do we.
If you watch the
show, we're all dressed to the nines.
I wear gear. If they're paying me.
Yeah, B always looks nice. B always looks like he can go to
call,
like
baby.
A luncheon or a golf course. That's your vibe.
Hey, collars and coat.
Do you ever dress like trashy around the house or anything? Or just you always pretty much got your outfit together?
I'm normally a golfer or something.
But like around the house, if you're just chilling.
When I get in the house and
pig?
I
walk in the house with what I have on, and then when I wake up, I'm getting out of the house. I don't like sitting around the house.
Dude, we went on a golf trip.
If I sit around the house, you know what? She's going to ask me to do something. So I can stay out of the house.
We went on a golf trip during COVID, right? We went down to Pinehurst. And yeah,
when I had to choke you out.
Yeah, that happened. But say, I want to say we had like a 10 a.m. tea time or something. And I wake up to, like, take a leak at 7 a.m. Brian has already showered, ironing his clothes, and, like, has cologne on. And I'm like, what is going on here?
That's how
he's
wired.
He's ready to attack the day. That's what he's doing.
What if I run into Salma Hayek walking to the golf course? I almost smell like ass.
You always smell good. Brian always smells good. Yeah, always smells good.
And how many times have you run into Salma Hayek on the golf course? He's still waiting.
I run into people that look like her. They're not here, but they look like her.
Still waiting.
So the other thing with the Monumental, do you, like, are the breaks that much more concrete? Like, do you really have to go? Well,
the end of our show is basically the same.
Hold on. Just at the end.
He's asking that for a reason. He's never seen a break he wants to go past.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, he drives past breaks like,
he'll
you know.
He'll figure it out.
Good conversation.
Like people drive past a pit stop in a damn race.
Dude, I know you guys talked about it. How about Franklin, Penn State? 50 mil to buy him out?
Bro, listen.
Greatest gig ever.
Give me 50 million to go.
Yeah. 5 million to go.
Yeah.
At this point, 5 million, 100%.
But like, when you're up that point, you do a 50s and 70s, I'll take that.
100%.
I mean, come on, let's be real now. That I know some inside stuff. They have some idiots up there at Penn State. They better start spending their money and start working with the whole NIL thing. Or they're not going to
Are they not keeping up with everybody else and all that, too?
They don't like who may be in charge. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I just I don't think the players are as good as people think. That's all.
I don't think
the quarterback was good.
Drew Aller was that good.
I didn't think he was good.
Drew
Aller
right now at 57.
I bet you the redshirt Grunkenmeyer. Wait till you see him play. He can run. He'll be a lot better.
Grunkenmeyer or Grunkenmeyer?
Grunk.
Grunkenmeyer?
Yeah.
Oh boy,
hell of a name.
It's not Grunk. It's Grunk. Just call him Grunk.
So he's a grouchy drunk.
Sure, like me. All right, we got to go here. Junks will stay on Monumental. B. Mitchell Finley now on Monumental starting November 1st. Caps, Wiz, Mystics, all relationships here with 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 1580 The Bet, Bloomberg 99.1. The Monumental, 106.7 The Fan partnership continues.
Welcome hey, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Welcome.
Thanks very
congrats.
Much.
Your empire continues to grow.
You're expanding.
Right. B. Mitchell Finley continues. Junks get the hell out of here. Nobody go anywhere.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going with the Junks.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Excited to get on the Rude Guest Hotline right now and welcome in our friend, Mr. Fred Smoot. Fred, how you doing, man? You get any sleep last night?
Man, we had better days, brother. No sleep. Me and Jeff were just talking about it. He said he couldn't even sit in his car because that belt hadn't hit that butt. It was tough on all of us, man. Mm-hmm.
So it was. I totally agree with you, Fred. I'm curious. One thing B and I tried to separate as we were talking about the loss last night is what, at least for me, I kind of consider to be a one-off, a outlier. And then what are the real recurring problems? I don't think Jaden's going to fumble that very often. I think that was a fluky thing. But this team starts slow, and they're bad at tackling and give up big plays. Those are legitimate recurring issues to me.
Yeah, they are. And they're starting to really, really affect us in how we play. That's something that we did well last year. We tackled as a group. I'm seeing a lot of individual tackles where guys are facing a runner and it's just one person facing that runner. And great defenses, we got this thing called ants on bread. I don't know if you ever dropped a piece of bread on the ground and seen 23 ants around it, but they get that as a group. They tackle that as a group. And I'm not seeing that consistently. Here goes the thing about it. I think that's the word we should say with this team. Consistent, because they didn't show flashes of we can be a good defense. They show flashes of we can be a dominant offense. We can be a dominant special team. But then in situational times, they don't do that. And I think that's what's leaving us feeling the way we are. But I must say this. Last night when I left that game, if I have to sum it up in one word, pain. That's what I felt. Mm-hmm. Pain. Because as an ex-player, we can take you beating us 40-0. That means you out-schemed us, you outplayed us, you out-hustled us, and y'all were just better. But when we give you a game like that, this is the thing that nightmares are made of. This is where players have nightmares.
Yep. But, Fred, we talk about the slow starts, and we had a guy call earlier and say, is it really slow starts, or are we having mistakes at the most inopportune times? We got the ball two times. We threw an interception on the first one. We had a fumble on the second possession. What needs to happen for this thing to just start off where we go down and get the score instead of we're down 10-0?
We need to finish what we start. Like you said, it ain't that we had a slow start yesterday. It's just that we left all the drives incomplete in the first half. And that would put us behind the chains. And what we've seen with this team – to allow us to be our best, we are a running team. To run the ball, that game flow has to give you a chance to run the ball, and you can't run the ball down 13-0. You can't run the ball down 20. Like, it takes away what makes you great. And what we need to do is start doing what we did last year, and that's finishing drives. The one thing I can say that I think made us dominant last year, when we would go on these 12, 13, 14 play drives, and it would drain the life out of teams. We're not putting those drives together right now offensively, and it's not giving us a chance. And then defensively, you have to put the runner on the ground. That's my job, right? My first job is to cover. My second job is to put the runner on the ground. If he catches the ball, if he runs the ball, it doesn't matter. But I'm not gonna consistently tackle pro running backs by myself time and time again. It's going to have to be a group effort.
How disappointing do you think the 55-yard touchdown catch to DeAndre Swift, specifically his ability to keep that play going? I thought Quan should have had him out of bounds. Lattimore just unable to get him down. How frustrating was that play specifically for you, a former DB that understood the weight of that possession?
Well, it's one of them things. When it happens, you know it's the scrawl that breaks the camel's back. It's one of those things where you have to understand when you're in that situation, your best friend is the sideline. The sideline is undefeated. B. Mitch can't beat the sideline. Jerry Rice can't beat the sideline. Nor will Barry Sanders beat the sideline. You have to use that as a lethal weapon. At the least, I don't need to tackle him there. I need to get him out of bounds. I need to use his momentum, push him and force him out of bounds. And I'm not mad at Quan for missing that tackle because he shot his shot. But if you Lattimore, you have to finish that and get this guy out of bounds. And I'm not going to take anything from Ben Johnson. That was a great play call. We was in man-to-man. He running an option route. It's only going to be one person or two people out there because everybody else is stuck to their man. I just thought it was a great play call. And thank Lord that we don't play this running back Swift 17 games a year because he has Daniel Jones disease. He loves playing at Northwest State.
He does.
He really does, man.
He did it last year. He did it again this year.
Talking with our friend Fred Smoot here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can follow Fred at fsmoot21, Sean T. As much as the game last night was super disappointing, Fred, I feel like you're a good person to ask about this because I remember when they were doing the rebrand, how into the Red Wolves you were and whatever. They've landed on Commanders. We've all kind of moved forward. But they are making a real effort, I think, to kind of like build out what that brand means. How cool was it last night seeing Darryl Green wave that spear around and getting that raise? It was pretty cool.
It was unbelievable because I was in the suite with all the rest of us. We called it the old folks home of Ashburn. We was in the suite. and if we all up there, you can see in all our eyes when the lights turn out. And I thought it was cool what the ownership did with the wristbands and that light show. And the first thing came out of my mouth, we never got that. Why we never got that? All right? And then to see Darryl out there and him leading the hell check, that atmosphere said, let's go win this game. Like, the theater put on before the game said, let's go win this game. And for us to have this game in our hands and let it slip through our fingers like that, it kind of erased all the pregame excitement. It kind of erased all the extra bells and whistle when we didn't finish what we started. And it took some of the air out of it for me.
I totally agree, man. The crowd... Everything, the setup was right, and then you get the pick early, and then the fumble. I mean, the first two possessions went pick, fumble, really disheartening. Defensively, Fred, what do you make? Another recurring issue, I'd say, is what seems to be a real trouble spot when opposing offenses are running crossing routes. And I don't know what the fix is. Maybe you can identify it, but, man, it is a problem week after week after week.
They're man beaters. They're man beaters route. When you're predominantly man team, me and Sean Springs had to play one season 80% man to man. All we seen was crosser routes. All we seen was rub routes. And me and Sean just developed this nonverbal communication of we're going to high low it, we're going to inside out it, we're going to triangle it, we're going to box it. We're going to fight you with every weapon that we have. Everything that's in our arsenal, we're going to do it. Like we used to be, if they did a stack route on me and Sean, whoever has the point, I need you to be aggressive. Like if Sean is going to be on the point guy, I need you to jam him to give me a clear view of where my guy is, because when you're playing man to man and you're playing against these man beaters, you're basically a chaser. In your head, before the play even start, you need to be like, I need to get in this guy's hip pocket because I'm going to have to chase him horizontally across this field. So what I'm saying is we're getting beat pre-snap. All right? We're not getting beat doing the play. We're getting beat pre-snap because the guys are not having a plan that they can allocate and do at a fast rate and understand I need to get to a certain point on this field where and here goes the thing about man-to-man and most people don't understand is that don't really know football is man-to-man coverage is not for interceptions. It's for pass breakups and tackles.
Yeah. Right?
Because you're not going to intercept the ball a lot. So I think the DBs need to get in their head. A win in this situation is no catch, pass breakup, tackle out the catch with no yards, no yak. So I think it's all pre-snap than it is during the snap.
Fred, they're sitting at 3-3 right now. Where is your mindset with this football team? What needs to happen and what you think got to happen for them to get back on the winning side?
In the immortal words of one great author, Slim Shady, will the real Slim Shady stand up? I need to know who this team is because they show me these glimpses of, oh, yeah, we are that team. Then they show me these lapses of we can't seem to get it right. So as a fan, I can understand when you feel like at one point you feel like you got the best team in the league. At another point, they feel like, oh, we the same old Commanders from the past. I totally understand. And these ebb and flows probably come from the fact that the guy that you had listed as your starting running back at the beginning of the year, gone. John Bates just got back. Sam Cosby, Pro Bowl guard, gone. Reinforcements will come. Will Harris gone. It's so many guys, and I'm not using it because every team in the league has injuries right now. But we did a lot of shuffling right now. We just signed Preston Smith 2 weeks ago. Preston Smith probably played 19 to 20 snaps last night. So right. I think when the team as a whole becomes whole again, that's when I think we need to really judge this team. But I can say this. Because of these injuries to your number one wide receiver, to your number three wide receiver, guys like Luke McCaffrey have found out that I can play in this league. Yep. And not only can I play in this league, I can be whatever my team needs me to be. Right now, Luke might be the number one return man in the NFL, and he had a 40-yarder taken from him last night. Luke McCaffrey is on a tear because Luke McCaffrey believes in Luke McCaffrey. Jalen Lane is out there making plays. We didn't know we were going to have to depend on Jalen Lane is out there making plays. So through all of this hurt, through all of this pain, we're still 500. We still have a bulk of the schedule still sitting in front of us. So like I said last year, let grandma cook. And please, kids, get out the kitchen.
I like that, Fred. Looking ahead, actually, why do you think they struggled to run the ball last night? That was a pretty big surprise.
No. That bye week for Chicago, they understood we not good against the run. We're going to put eight in the box, totally. And we're going to dare you to pass the ball. We're going to say if you pass the ball, damn if you do, damn if we don't. If you get on top of us, we don't care, but we're not going to let you do. We're not going to let the best rushing team in the NFL utilize that number one thing. And then did you realize on all of the RPOs that we ran last night, all they worried about was where was JD5? They made sure that he gave that ball off. They was not going to let us beat them with him running the ball. So I was always wondering, if they're going to do that, why not do what we did a lot last year? And that was late in the game. We would go into these four and five wide formations where we would have no backs in the backfield. And then if the play breaks down and nobody's open, then Jaden can use his athletic ability when the play breaks down instead of a design run that they said last night, no design runs from number five. We accepted. It was just one of those challenges where we was going to say, that's our strength. We're going to stick to what we do well. We're going to run the ball. And last night they were saying, no, you're not going to run the ball because we're going to have one more man in this box than you can protect.
And I think if you had Terry, you had Noah, they couldn't have done what they did last night.
No, they couldn't.
Last night they were able to do it.
Yep, you're completely right because they feel like it wasn't a threat there. And don't forget, Debo limped into this game with that heel. And as you can see, that heel was bothering him because he wasn't running like regular Debo last night. So now you take away your number one receiver, your number two receiver is limping in, and your number three receiver is at home with your number one receiver. Yeah, they felt like, hey, if they're going to beat us, they're going to beat us in the air. And that's why you've seen a lot of Zach Ertz last night because he was that one dependable guy that we could go to.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times when they were in those jumbo sets, the receiver on the field was Chris Moore, and that's just not a dynamic threat opposite the size where Chicago knows you're probably...
Well, it's nothing that the DBs are going to just lose their mind about. You're not alerting Chris Moore. I'm not no disrespect to Chris Moore. Right. I'm just saying, as a cornerback, you're not, you know, that's a job I got to do it. We're not putting no safety over the top of Chris Moore.
Yeah, totally.
Look, you know, it's a short week now. They're playing Dallas in 5 days. They're back on the practice field tomorrow. Pickens is playing at a really elite level. Jerry Jones says they'll have CeeDee Lamb back. What if anything, do you want to see this secondary try to do against a Cowboys offense anyway that's performing at a really high level?
You know what? This is a mental, very intimate game because this coaching staff and their coaching staff, they know everything about each other. Schottenheimer was there when Coach Quinn was like, they know every little intimate thing about each other. So it's going to be I'm going to be very eager to see the battle of attrition. I'm going to be eager to see which one of these coaching staffs are going to be willing to switch up what they do. Who's going to be able to layer what they do because they know each other inside and out. Coach Quinn knows Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott knows Coach Quinn. Coach Schottenheimer knows him. Coach Witt knows. Like, it's such an intimate thing that you're talking about one of the best offenses in football right now. Skinny Dak is playing some of the best ball he has played in a couple of years. Yes, when I'm going to tell you something about Dak. When he starts to lose weight, he starts to run a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And if he adds that to his repertoire, that makes the offense that much better. And Williams is running the ball out that backfield. That offensive line is protecting better than people thought they would. So it's going to be a test for this defense. The question is, are you going to go in with aggressive? Do I want to get Dak off the spot? I'm going to play more zone and coverage and be a more of a bend but don't break defense? Do I want to force a high-powered touchdown scoring offense to just settle for three? Or do I want to try to make them settle for none and that's a chance for them to get six?
Do you really want to change up what you do best and become something new? Or you try to stick to what you know or go full out on what you know obsessed Brett or that?
That's the thing about it. I would go with it, especially with them having them two threats at wide receiver. I would go more bend but don't break defense. I would play a lot of cover four, a lot of cover two, but I would also match that cover two with a lot of, man in a hole. I want that safety to be in a hole. But I have to do something to force Dak to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And the one thing Dak has proven, I'm not going to make mistakes if I'm standing up and my jersey is clean. We have to get pressure. And if you have to get pressure, especially on a guy like Dak, it's not your defensive ends that's going to affect him. It's your D tackles that's going to affect him. The shortest route to the quarterback is through the A and the B gap. Yeah. And if you can get pressure through the A and the B gap and just get your hands up, force him to throw in between defensive linemen, in between linemen, just make it hard for his vision, you have a chance to slow these guys down. But if you let Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and George Pickens just go pitch and catch, you're not going to stop these
guys.
Got
a problem.
For sure. That could be big trouble. Fred, we really appreciate you making time.
Young
I know
man.
It was a late night, dude.
Hey, you know, I'm proud of y'all too, man. And I must say this, Jeff looks great. You know, Ozempic Jenkins is looking better than I have ever seen him look in my life, man.
All right, E.T., go home.
Fred, I also... Do you notice, because I know you're a big Game of Thrones guy, how like a lot of the intro, a lot of the stuff they do on the video boards is very Game of Thrones-ish. Like when they show that map of all the little NFL cities, like that's straight out of Game of Thrones.
I love it. I love it. I love it that they're taking on and they're selling the image. Like they're selling what the team and what they want you to think about when you think about the team. And I think that's very intelligent. I think that's very smart because you just can't throw a name out there. It has to be a meaning behind the name.
There you go.
Right. All right, Fred. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time.
All right, anytime, fellas.
All right. That's our guy, Fred Smoot. Give him a follow at FSmoot21, Sean T. Phone lines are still lit up. A couple other things I want to just kind of tidy up as we get ready. Grant and Danny coming your way at 2 o'clock. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Big news, Noah Brown to the IR. I don't think that's that big of an issue right now. I think the issues were in December, February, March, when they made those decisions, how they were going to shape the Commanders' wide receiver room. Right now, though, I'm really excited to get on the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. And welcome in Mr. Ken Belson. You can follow Ken at L. Belson, and he's got a new book out that I've actually already started reading. I got an advanced copy. It's called Every Day is Sunday. Ken covers the business of sports for the New York Times and has a new book out, Every Day is Sunday. Ken, what's up, dude? Thanks for making time for us. Do we have Ken, Jeff?
I'm hearing you.
Yeah, we got you. There you go.
Okay, great. How you doing, man?
Yeah. Good.
Thanks for joining us. The book is out. Every Day is Sunday. And really, you kind of trace the rise of the NFL into this global superpower and how Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft really were kind of at the wheel of this thing. Can you just kind of let people know how much and how big the NFL has grown?
Oh, my, yeah. During Paul Tagliabue's tenure, which was 1989 to 06, the league's revenue pretty much doubled. And Roger Goodell, over the same period of years, 17 years, well, now 19 years, the league's revenue has tripled. That's in large part not so much to Roger Goodell, but to the owners that came into the league at that time, including Jerry and Robert Kraft, who saw the potential for the NFL's brand overseas. You mentioned gambling came in. That's a big source of revenue now. Of course, the networks. And Jerry Jones particularly gets a shout-out for this. Say what you will about him as an owner, as the Cowboys and the GM. But he was the first to see that the way the league was handling its media was old-fashioned. If you think back to the late 80s and 90s, they used to have CBS had had the NFC and ABC, or ABC had Monday Night Football, and NBC had the AFC package. And that was it. There were only three bidders for three packages. And Jerry came in the early 90s and said, well, why don't we get an auction going, right? It makes sense. Bring a fourth bidder in, and the prices will go up. And that was Fox and Rupert Murdoch, and the rest so-called is history. He outbid CBS. And CBS learned the hard way how hard it was to promote all those programming shows, the Sunday night programs, without football. And, of course, they were out of the Super Bowl loop, all those things. After that point, not just the NFL, but the other leagues took notice. Why don't we have more bidding going on here? And so suddenly the networks were on the other side. They used to make money on football and all the sports programming by selling ads. Suddenly sports became a lost leader. You had to have it. Otherwise your other programming would suffer. So it was really a kind of tectonic shift in how media and the sports world operated. And the NFL was first to kind of recognize that. And if you look at the money now, the media money now, it's more than 50% of their overall revenue, and it just keeps getting bigger. We can talk about streaming and the digital companies getting in, Netflix, Amazon, Google. There's such appetite now for sports, and the NFL set up pretty well to take advantage of it.
Will there ever be a point where it gets too big, too high?
It's a great question. There is a saturation point, right? But I think the NFL has benefited by two things. One is they still have the bulk of their games on the over-the-air free channels. So you don't need a Peacock subscription or Amazon Prime to watch most games, and certainly the Super Bowl is on free TV. So they still reach the biggest audience. But let's face it, there is saturation, right? They do benefit by only having a 256-game schedule. Scarcity is their friend. But as Mark Cuban said, at a certain point, he said this back in 2014, you get a little greedy. Now you're on Thursdays. Now you're on Christmas. Now you're on Black Friday. And at a certain point, the novelty wears off. And certainly when I was a kid, you'd watch the highlights on Saturday of the previous week to get amped up for the following Sunday, the next day. And, there was like drama to it, like, come on, like, give me my fix, And now that fix is all over the place. And as I outline in the book, think about the draft on Thursday night, the ratings they get, the fact that it's a roadshow, it's going to come to your neighborhood in Washington in a couple of years. Yeah. The combine, boy, the lead up to the combine. And then my all time favorite is the primetime release of the next year's schedule. guys just reading stuff off a calendar and just saying, oh, we'll watch this anyway. So yeah. The NFL knows there's demand out there. But you're right. At a certain point, it's too much. Right. And so I think they're trying to find the balance. It's not easy. They're trying to be a 365 day a year league, but maintain that. that sort of scarcity.
You're right. Every day is Sunday. They're trying to get him on every game because, like, every year I hear people say, I'm not going to watch the combine, and they have numbers better than the other leagues, like playoff games.
Yep.
You know, it's crazy.
And, you know, you look at, like, the NBA Finals. The NBA is sort of number two, really, at this point. They get 7 million viewers for an NBA Final. Now, it's not a fair comparison. You got a seven-game series. But even so, I mean, you know, 20 million fans for a mediocre Thursday night football game, it's kind of insane. Even the ratings, and the league loves to tout this, even the ratings for the Hall of Fame game, I mean, talk about a useless exercise, right? And they're still drawing big crowds because people love their football. So, you know, they built this kind of national footprint very cleverly. And people talk about, say, the Steelers and the Packers having, you know, good footprint. But you go to L.A., you'll find a Bills bar. You go to Arizona, you'll find a Bills bar. You'll find a Commanders bar in a lot of big cities. Yeah. Still have an avid fan base. So that's something that's hard to trade in. It's hard to recreate.
Talking with New York Times best-selling author Ken Belson has a new book out called Every Day is Sunday, tracing just the rise of the NFL to just the absolute superpower it is and how big of a role Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft played in that. I'm also curious, Ken, Washington had such a significant change in, I mean, ownership, right?
Yeah.
Like, Snyder almost killed this organization, and then you get Josh Harris. What was Snyder's role as the NFL kept growing and then more or less eventually threw him out? Like I know you have some pretty juicy nuggets in there about Dan.
Yeah. So Dan's an interesting case. Jerry was always the one pushing the envelope. You know, he was finding money in places the NFL owners didn't even know to look. And that's his genius. You know, you call it what you want, greed, you know, rampant capitalism, whatever it is. Jerry's an ideas guy. He's looking for everything that he could. The title of the chapter on Jerry Jones is I love to stick that Cowboys peanut butter on everything. You know, he's you know, he's got the biggest brand, and he's a circus barker, right? Dan comes in, and he immediately aligns with Jerry. There's theories on why they align so closely, but Dan was all about, at that time, he paid $800 million. That was a record amount. Dan had to pay back his loans. So he was eager for a lot of new cash to come in quickly. He had the biggest stadium. They used to draw, they were the tops in the league, right? They had 93,000, I think, at some point. They were 92. Yeah, they were far and away successful. But he went too far. There's been a kind of interesting tension in the league. You know, we know we're going to get our money from the networks, but we don't want to bleed them dry. And there's a scene, I think it's in the book, you know, that I heard from another owner that Dan went into these meetings and said, wait, you're only doubling your media revenue and you know that these guys really need you. Why aren't we trying to triple it? Well, you know, the owners realize they got to live with the networks. They don't want to drive them out of business. So there is a little bit of, I mean, Robert Kraft particularly, hey, let's leave some money on the table. We'll come back next time. And that's not Dan. Dan was, let's take as much as we can now. It's our chance. We're the monopoly here. He also famously is the first owner to charge a visiting team to park their team buses.
Yeah.
He did that. And charge fans to attend training camp sessions.
Yeah,
yeah, so... you know, if it wasn't nailed down, he was going to try and get it. And I think that's he was very much out on a limb there. I don't think a lot of owners were that sort of ravenous. But he definitely aligned himself with Jerry in terms of money first.
For sure. How much would you say, like, how does Harris fit into the NFL now? I mean, this is a dude that's, you know, owns teams in other sports. It's not like he's new to pro sports. But what is kind of what is the other owner's reaction to him? How has he fit in so far?
Josh has been, I would say, probably good for the NFL so far. First of all, the team's turned around. That helps. Number two,
that
he finally got
getting
a quarterback. But even more than that, like turning the page on Dan Snyder. That anybody could have come in and helped there, but Josh did it tastefully. He's a local guy. He was understated. He's not out there tapping himself on the back. You know, we've had other owners, Jerry being one of them, that would, you know, get down on the sideline in the fourth quarter. And you know, it was partly about them. And Arthur Blank still does it, even all these years later. So I think, you know, he's been happy to be in the background and be a cheerleader when necessary. He brought in an interesting group, Mitch Rales, Magic Johnson, and others, to sort of be more of the front people. So he's been great from a business perspective. From a generational perspective, he's interesting, right? You got a lot of, I mean, Jerry and Robert are in their 80s now. Their kids will take over, Stephen Jones and Jonathan Kraft, and that's all fine. But, you know, you lose a little bit when the founder goes, right? It doesn't have the same energy and vitality. Not that Stephen Jones or Jonathan Kraft aren't smart. That's not the issue. It's just their personalities are different. And you have older franchises, the Rooneys and the Maras, the Bidwills, the Hallis family, and the McCaskies in Chicago. They're really just like trustees at this point, right? So you have a new generation of people who think differently about sports teams, and Greg Penner in Denver is one of them, and Josh Harris is another, Jimmy Haslam in Cleveland. They see teams now as assets. I think that's the mindset that has changed now, and that's why we have now private equity money coming in, and we'll probably see more of it in the coming years. And frankly, you know, I can see it from Josh Harris's perspective. Somebody wants to write you a check for 10% of your team and have no control. Well, I'll take that check, you know. And Josh, you know, Josh is a $6 billion valuation, right? So that's a big check. Jeffrey Lurie has sold a slice of his team. Stephen Ross in Miami. And Josh was very instrumental on this small committee of figuring out the formula that worked for the NFL. So he's already made his imprint in just a couple of years without having to, you know, stomp on it, you know, take a shoe and bang and get everybody's attention.
What do you think the next team to sell is?
It's up in Seattle. Paul Allen died in 2018. His estate is obligated to sell all of his assets over time. The Blazers, his other sports franchise, has already sold, or hasn't been approved, but it's been sold for well over $4 billion. Wow. His sister, who's really his only sibling, only big family member, he didn't have any kids, she kind of likes being owner. You know, Jody Allen. So she's probably going to sell that thing last. They had some contractual obligations to King County. They would have had to, if they had sold before last year, they would have had to turn 10% of the proceeds over to King County in Seattle. So they waited until after 24. We're now in 25. The Blazers are now off the books. So we could see something in 26, 27, where the Seattle changes hands. And you know, Washington went for six. Seattle, with the money up in Seattle, Jeff Bezos, you know, all the tech money, you could easily get an eight number, wow, maybe even more, for a city that's not nearly as big as Washington, D.C. in terms of footprint. But, you know, these are rare assets. There's only a couple of them change hands. We did have a few, right? We had Denver and we had Washington kind of back-to-back. But, you know, they only come around once every half decade or so, and there's going to be a lot of people wanting to get in on that one.
Well, you think Bezos gets the Seahawks?
It's possible. I mean, you know, it's kind of a
complicated
relationship.
He wanted this one at one point, didn't he?
Yeah, there was talk of it. I don't think he wanted to pay $6 billion.
So he's going to pay $8?
Right, but he'll pay $8. But he'll get a team that's his hometown. You know, it's a lot of co-branding with Amazon. They have the arena up there where the Kraken play. It's the Climate Pledge Arena. It's an Amazon branded thing. So, you're right. He could have gotten it for six. I guess he felt like the team was in a very different business state at that point. And the other thing is, you know, Josh Harris has to build a new stadium. You know, so Jeff Bezos is thinking, all right, that's six, but then it's another what, four? So that's 10. I don't know. Does it matter to a guy like Bezos? Maybe not. there could be a lot of reasons why he didn't want it. But in any event, yeah, Bezos could be one. But it's complicated. You have prime, you have Thursday night football. You have an owner who would be part of broadcasting. So I don't know how they would sort of slice that and, you know, make sure there's no conflicts of interest. And he also has Amazon, the computing company, which does a lot of the statistics for the league. So, but he would be a likely one to line up to buy the team.
The Giants, I think, are really interesting. I think for a long time, the Giants being in New York, their relationship with Park Avenue and the NFL the NFL headquarters, the Giants kind of ran the league. And I think that has changed a lot over the years. Now you've got this news, John Mara's sick. you know, I know there's a lot of Maras, and you've got the other family. I can only imagine what the Giants would be valued at. I mean, it's New York.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest brands in sports.
Yeah, yeah.
What is like, not today or tomorrow, but what is the Giants organization look like 5-10 years from now?
Well, John's very much the leader, but he's got siblings, and I believe his son is working in the front office. I don't see it leaving the team or leaving the family. They've only got 50%. The Tisch family owns the others.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve Tisch and Jonathan Tisch works at the team in the finance department. They, you know, for a 50-50 split, there have been many examples where people are at each other's throats. This is one of the good stories. The families get along very well. They're in no rush to sell. They have, you know, large families on both sides. So I don't see them changing hands. I don't think John Mara wants to leave, and I don't believe he's that sick. I mean, knock on wood, I hope he's all right. But and he's one of the real kind of heart and souls of the league. I'll give you one little anecdote. It's in the book, and we were talking a little bit about saturation. You know, a couple of years ago at one of the owners' meetings, they were taking a vote on flexing Thursday night games. You know, they thought the Bengals-Browns game was going to be great in Week 15. Man, it's a bit of a dud, so can we flex in a different game? John Mara was the only owner to speak publicly against this. And he actually texted a whole bunch of people and said, meet me in the lobby, I got something to say. And this is while the owners were voting. The vote failed, but he spoke out publicly and he said, you know, we got a lot of fans who are season ticket holders all around the country. They get that schedule, they buy their tickets, their plane tickets, their hotels, and they come in knowing that week 15 is a Sunday at 1 p.m. game. And now we're going to tell them 2 weeks before it's now a Thursday night game. What are we doing to our fans, our most loyal customers? He's the only one to say it. Now, Roger Goodell, reading the winds and knowing how the room works, he gathered enough votes, and the next meeting it passed anyway. But it says a lot about John that he still thinks about the people who are out there tailgating. You know, it's just not fair to your quote-unquote customers. And these are the real customers, the people that put up money for PSLs and come out every year. You know, they had, for a while they had 100,000 people on their waiting list, you know. So he's one of those rare owners that still is willing to do that and say that when the other owners are like, sure, you want to put a better matchup on Prime on Week 15, I'll go for it. What the heck? So, yeah, he's still kind of the heart and soul of the owners in that way.
In other words, as long as I'm getting paid, just get it done.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at those owner meetings when that was a pretty tough vote, and Mara was
I remember seeing you there. Yep. Yep.
Well, and then the way the owners handled it, they just tabled it and then voted for it the next time. You know what I mean? Like, there's a clear changing of the guard in the NFL, and it used to be the Maras and the Rooneys forever, and now it's kind of the Jerry disciples. Last thing for me, the Colts and the Titans are really interesting, where the patriarchs have passed. You now have the daughters in each case running those teams. I'm trying to read tea leaves. That Nashville organization, once they get that new stadium built, they start hosting Super Bowls. Nashville's obviously a great city. The valuation on that thing is going to go through the roof. Indy is really well set up. I mean, the stadium's awesome. Could you see either of those teams get sold?
You know, I heard that the three daughters for Jim Irsay say they're very much into it and they want to stay. But, you know, somebody's going to make an offer, right?
Right.
You know, yes, they grew up with their dad's team, but there was nobody more passionate than Jim Irsay. I mean, he was singing, you know, rock and roll songs on Twitter before games. So, you know, there was nobody like that. And I'm sure his daughters love it, but
in 5 years,
and he played football. You know, he was one of a kind in that way. He was also the first guy to call out Dan Snyder and the other owners. So,
yes.
Yeah, he spoke his mind. I kind of miss him. He was a rare bird who didn't mind saying what was on his mind. They could get an offer and sell. You know, Amy Strunk, boy, they had a lot of family problems there. They had siblings. They couldn't agree. They had to buy one out. But they do have that stadium, and they got a lot of public money to do it. And Nashville's a great town for a party. And they had the draft there a bunch of years ago. Music, Broadway, the whole scene there is made for a Super Bowl at some point. I don't know what her love of the team is. And, you know, she's not a very vocal owner. But, you know, nobody's going to force her out as long as the team's performing okay. And I'm not talking on the field. You can't control that. Yeah. But as long as it's making money and not dragging the league down. So, yeah, that new stadium, I've seen the design of it. It looks very nice, and it's very walkable. It's not Landover. But when you guys get your new stadium, I think it's going to be a winner because people could just, you know, hop on the Metro and get there quick, and you're going to have the skyline to look at. There'd be a lot of benefits to it.
Absolutely. Ken, we got to break.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you for the time. Congrats on the new book. Everybody go check out Every Day is Sunday. Thank you, Ken.
All right. Pleasure.
All right, man. Take care.
Ken Belson, New York Times author, New York Times reporter, best-selling author, new book, Every Day is Sunday. When we come back, let's go around the NFL. I want to talk about this PFF thing. Plus, Noah Brown's on the IR. Maybe we open the phones up. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. If you missed any of our interview with the legendary one and only Doc Walker, get on the Odyssey app or the iHeart app or anywhere you get your podcast and listen to it. Doc is the best. Doc is not happy with that Bears loss. I think it's safe to say that. I've been meaning to make a point of this, and I wanted to bring it up. You've seen more and more pushback against Pro Football Focus. Mm-hmm. And my stance with PFF has always kind of been a constant in that the information they provide, like the pre-snap formation stuff, like there's a lot of valuable information they provide.
Mm-hmm.
But the subjective stuff, specifically the grading, I've never taken too fully because I just feel like, one, it's so incredibly subjective and you don't know who is the one doing the analysis. And then football's a game that's really hard. When Chris Cooley used to do the film breakdowns with Sheehan, they were so freaking great because Chris also had the playbook. He knew what was supposed to happen and what did happen.
Yeah.
A lot of other film breakdowns, and that's not to say there's not value to lots of them. There are. As long as you trust the source that's providing the content, like the breakdown, the context, like there is absolutely value in that stuff. But, like, you don't always know what the design is. So you don't always know if the safety is actually out of place or what the D lineman was supposed to do in that capacity, right? And I'm not knocking film study. There's a lot of value to it. But what I've thought is crazy is the notion of Pro Football Focus grades and then Pro Football Focus ranks on top of it. And as PFF has grown and grown and grown, you see these ranks more and more and more. And dude, I work for NBC, so maybe I should choose my words more carefully. But, like, PFF has a relationship with Chris Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth works for NBC. Now they show these PFF rankings on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
And it gives it this sense of authority, right? So Chris Long played in the NFL, won a Super Bowl. I think he played 11 years in the NFL. Obviously, Howie Long's a Hall of Famer. His brother Chris played in the NFL. Like, these are dudes that know football, I think it's safe to say, right? And Chris Long went nuts on his podcast about Patrick Mahomes specifically. And there was a screen grab that went viral. And I don't know if you're aware of this, B. At least going into Sunday Night Football, where do you think PFF had Patrick Mahomes ranked?
Had to be low for Chris to lose his mind.
13th.
That's stupid. There's not 12 quarterbacks in the league better than Pat. Never. And there's not 12 playing better than he is right now.
And then to put it as 13th of 32 quarterbacks, like it's some statement of fact, is just a little nuts to me. And what really bothered Chris Long, what got him started on this, is the Chiefs have a D lineman. I think his last name is Nandi.
Yeah.
They flew a graphic on Derek Nandi that he was the 191st out of 191 ranked defensive tackles. And Chris Long was like, he should sue them. like how on earth can you make that determination? Mm-hmm. Especially, and I don't know specifically, but if I had to guess, if you're Derek Nandi and you're lined up with Chris Jones on the same D-line, a lot of times your job is just to try to eat as many blockers as you can. Just to basically be like a human shield to let Chris
beat the other people.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, and the flip side of that is, if Chris Jones is getting double teamed like he frequently is, Nani should be able to make some plays, and maybe he isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he isn't having a great season.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you've heard more coaches go in on this. Players go in on it. McAfee went in on it the other day. And I am not saying anybody is right or wrong. I just think it's gotten over its skis with the weight that is thrown at this.
Okay, I think this is the main thing. If I'm involved with a product and I am gaining money from this product, or people look at it as a conflict of interest, right?
Yeah.
So that's why they look at Chris and the whole deal the same way. He's involved with the PFF stuff. So if I'm on TV on Sunday nights and stuff, and I get to discuss the product I'm involved with, I'm damn sure going to promote it. But is that not a conflict of interest?
I mean, that's a different question.
But girl, it's just, I have the soapbox to tell you about my product, and people in this society today, they believe everything they hear the person on TV saying or whatever. So if I'm saying it all the time, and then now I'm flying it off as this end-all, be-all, is it not a conflict? It is. So I'm promoting something that, I guess, because I'll tell you this. Coaches talk to reporters and analysts all the time. I'd be damned if they letting you know everything in their playbook. Like, you're absolutely right. Cooley knew the exact offense that this team was supposed to be running. Had the iPad that they had. So he can tell you exactly what happened and what didn't. So when he says stuff, you can take it for damn near facts.
Right.
I'll be damned if 32 teams telling these people exactly what they're trying to do and what happened. So a lot of it, like you said, is subjective or guessing. And that's where the whole damn problem comes from.
And it's totally fine to reference a data point, but at some point the weight given to those data points is far too significant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you see stuff, the level that Mahomes is playing at right now, especially early in the year when Worthy was hurt, Rice is suspended.
But it doesn't take into account none of that stuff. See, when you say a quarterback is the 13th, you have to take into account what is he throwing to. His best receiver was his aging tight end that hasn't played like he was capable of playing in the last 2 years, 3 years. But they still beat the team that everybody was giving all the praise to. You know what I mean? So he's doing something. He put 30 on that team.
All right, quick break from us. You are going to hear from the coordinators here in a moment, as well as Sean Sharif will join us at noon. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Every NFL Thursday is your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel. Because with FanDuel's Thursday touchdown jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you'll win. Your bet plus a share of bonus bets, just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to take a shot at the jackpot. That's FanDuel.com/Brian for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel, official sports book of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Opt-in required. Must apply a profit boost token on select market. Prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct first or last touchdown pick. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 21 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Beamish and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're live. D-City Smokehouse, come through. When does it actually open? 11? They say they're open.
We're open now. Come on.
So come through now.
Come in, man. Come eat early. I mean, drink early. Do your thing.
Beamish ordered a mimosa.
No, it didn't. And you saw what I told the lady. She understood what the hell I was talking about. You know, four or five dudes sitting around drinking mimosas together. Nah, not good. Not a good look.
All right, no mimosas have been ordered.
Yeah, yeah.
We have already consumed some brisket. There will be more brisket consumed as the day goes on.
Yeah.
A few things I just wanted to clear up. Mike Beasley is a dear friend of the program, MGM National Harbor. Hopefully, Beasley will come down here.
Hey, Beasley, come on down. Take out your son.
So one of the guys here asked me how my dad was doing. I was like, oh, my dad passed, you know, close to 10 years ago now. And he said, oh, you were in here with your dad. And I was like, nah, that was Bees. I was just messing with him. So that was hysterical. Then,
but the funniest joke, funny one is this.
I said, Brian, where's Jeff? And we're unable to locate Jeff, Lanville. Uh-huh. I'm sure you're shocked by that.
So Shaq in the back told us where he was.
Lanville, do you want to guess where Jeff just went?
The CVS?
You know, no, Jeff. You know when he walks in and he smells very loud and awful?
Very weird.
You know, that's a very oil
odd smell.
Yeah, Sex Panther.
Well, he, I guess Sex Panther is close to here.
Yeah,
so he went to try and find some Sex Panther.
We're near the Sex Panther store, apparently. Jeff left to go get his oils. So whatever you want to make of that, Lanville, I just thought I should let you know. when Jeff gets back, we'll do a live report.
Yeah, we're gonna report on that
on how he smells.
Yeah.
All right, B. Tebow didn't practice, the injury report, the injury situation for the Commanders going into Dallas week facing the Cowboys is significant, and Dallas is getting much healthier.
Yeah.
Which is also significant. What do you make of Terry's situation?
Nothing. He's injured.
Do you think he's out?
For the game?
Yeah.
I don't know that. I don't know that yet because he practiced on Wednesday. He didn't practice yesterday. Maybe they try him again today. You still have tomorrow and also Sunday. But the thing of it, you don't want to push it and then you miss him all year. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they're gonna make their decision. And I know Dan is going to be more cautious than he's going to just try to force somebody. And they got a bunch of people. I heard, he should be playing. He held out. Man, get over yourselves. You know, stop being stupid. If somebody's hurt, they're hurt.
Kelly asked me that today. Be like, do you think the holdout had anything to do with it? And my reply was simple. Did Austin Ekeler hold out?
Yeah.
Because he blew out his Achilles.
Yeah, but, like, it's like you think when a guy's not there completely that stuff can happen. But, hell, stuff can happen at any time. And so that's the unfortunate thing about injuries in the NFL. They can happen anytime. And the thing of it, once somebody is injured, you don't just rush them. You want to make sure they can go out there and be capable out there on the field for you. You don't want them to go out there and can't handle the job.
There's no way of knowing that the holdout led to this injury. There's also no way of knowing it didn't. Like, I'll allow for both sides of that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
The Terry situation is very, very frustrating because my greater fear is that we're headed to another Noah Brown situation where the question becomes, why didn't you put him on IR?
Well, I mean, I think they didn't know. I mean, this. So you got to look at this injury. He gets hurt, hadn't ordinarily been hurt. And then you're going to see, and then the doctors probably told them probably 2-3 weeks. So you go along with that 2-3 weeks. You don't run out there and just rush it. You know, so. But the thing with Noah.
My information, right? Like, I was more concerned about the Terry injury than I was the Jaden injury.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the information I gathered when Jaden was hurt in that Packers game was, yeah, I'll probably miss a week, maybe two, right? Uh-huh. The Terry information I was able to gather was very open-ended because people didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gotten some clarity that he didn't need surgery and stuff, but the Terry situation, for me, if you want to be upset, Noah Brown, you don't put him on the IR. It's a roster spot. It's not like they weren't able to dress their guys out. Like,
yeah.
If you want to have consternation, I think it could be about how they put together the wide receiver room. And you let Deami walk. You let OZ walk. You bring Noah back. And they said they wanted him. Dan Quinn said, we wanted him all along.
Yeah.
We love what Noah does. I think the other guys they brought in for camp, you shopped at the bargain end of the shop, but because you were looking for like the redemption story or the comeback, and you've left yourself now in a situation where you've had some injuries. You can't expect injuries.
But that's the whole thing about it, though. You didn't know that this situation was going to come like this.
Yeah.
You felt you were going to have Terry. You were going to have Debo. Okay? You weren't thinking about being in this position right now. So people can have consternation. People can go and worry about it. I don't believe in being that person that, oh, I'm going to now be a revisionist and say what they should have done. They did what they did. And hopefully they pick the right damn people, young guys too, that can step up now in this situation and move forward. Me sitting up here worried about what they did and how they did it, not going to help this team one bit.
So I don't feel good about Terry playing. Are you in a similar stance? I don't know.
Now, I don't,
not
I don't,
reporting
I don't,
anything.
I don't know at this point. I don't know at this point. But, I mean, if he doesn't play, then somebody needs to go step up.
How do you feel about Debo playing?
Debo showed up last week, and then he went in the game and came back out. I still believe Debo is going to try to go on the field again this week.
He's two DNPs so far. They practiced today. In about 20 minutes, he'll be out on the field. I don't know how.
See, the reason I say what I say, we always talk about Gary Clark. Coach Gibbs said if you don't practice, you're not going to play. Gary didn't practice, and he played every damn game. So there are certain people that coaches look at differently.
Sure.
And I know they put messages out, and we all take the messages and we want to hold them to it. But every one of these coaches and people in the front offices, they understand certain people, they may not have to go through everything else, but they can go out there and play.
Totally.
So that's why with the Debo thing, I'm not 100% sure he wouldn't be playing.
I agree with that. I think Debo has a little bit more of a chance, even if he doesn't practice all week. But the receiver position in this game is very concerning. Yeah. It's hard to land at a spot different than that. Do you think Burks could be up and running that fast?
Yes. Yes, he could be up and running. Because he doesn't have to know the whole playbook. He needs to just, when I put him in a running play, block. When I put him on a passing play, he knows the numbers. Once they give him the numbers or the route name, he knows how to run that. And he can run at full speed. So he can be effective at that point. But the whole thing about it, will you, if you expect him to know everything, and I go back to Andy Reid on this, where all these people, like you heard certain coaches prior, Jay would say it, well, they don't know the whole playbook. You don't have to know the whole damn playbook to be effective.
Right.
Brian Westbrook didn't know the whole playbook. He was effective as hell. So if Treylon Burks can learn enough to go out there and be effective, that will work out for him.
I don't know his health situation either.
The play calling has to adjust some. You can't call the plays like you would have called if the other guys were here. Right now, you got to be more leaning towards the people that you have to play. So if your tight end is more effective, you got to go with tight end stuff. You got to run the ball effectively. You got to find out new things
to do. I think you got to run the hell out of the football.
Yeah, you got to find out new things to do. The one thing about it, everybody understands, I can go into a game thinking I want to do something. But if I don't have the people that are capable of doing that, I have to do the best of what I have.
So specifically with Treylon Burks, I think this is important to point out. Tennessee cut him, and he cleared waivers, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, nobody claimed him. He was a straight-up free agent. He tore his ACL late last year and then broke his collarbone in training camp 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, as much as the playbook might be an issue, his health is also an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now they brought him in for a meeting.
Well, if he was in training camp, the knee's okay.
Right.
So breaking the collarbone, now did he have time for that to heal?
I don't know. I've never broken my collarbone. Yeah. I hope I don't.
Mine had to be broken for me to be born.
Really?
Yep. I was that broad. I had to bring it up.
Well, that's good.
I'll tell you an off-air story. Me and my mom had a conversation about.
I can only imagine. So I think Treylon Burks, it's worth being excited. It's a former first rounder. He was really good his junior year at Arkansas before he went pro. But, like, I think we should temper those expectations. In 27 career games, he has 53 catches.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. I think the receiver position is going to be problematic this weekend. I look at one. We kind of have an expectation for one member of the Commanders coaching staff of what we think will happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a major prove-it game for one member of the Commanders coaching staff. I'll tell you exactly what I mean when we return. You're listening to Beam and Chill.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.